Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we'll be reading The Newspaper Threatened Me. It's from a collection of stories written by Tobias Wade called 54 Sleepless Nights. A link to this series or this book will be in the description below of this video or a podcast episode. So if you pick yourself up a copy, let me know. I'd love to say thank you. I hope you enjoy this story, and a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. Let's get started. I never thought horoscopes gave specific predictions. They're supposed to be as vague as possible to fit the widest range of circumstances. Something like, you should be ready for good news, or your problems aren't as big as you think they are. But here's what I read in the paper this morning. Aries, your deepest desire today at 171 E. Cherub Street, behind the cafe. If you miss your chance to be happy, you'll never find peace again. It didn't make sense to me. Unless the opportunity was to meet a bunch of other Aries all showing up at the same spot. Then again, I have been isolated at home for a long time since he was gone, and maybe meeting a bunch of people with the same sign and similar interests really was a unique opportunity by itself. Who knows? Maybe there's even an eccentric billionaire who trusts the stars to show them to help. I scanned the rest of the horoscopes, but every other month was as vapid and obscured as always. I had nothing else to do, though, so I drove to the address and parked behind the crumbling cafe. The place was closed with boards nailed over the windows, and I thought I might be in the wrong spot at first. I sat in my car for a few minutes in the empty gravel parking lot, waiting for someone else to show up. I was beginning to feel pretty gullible and was getting ready to drive home when a black sedan parked at the far end of the lot. I stayed in my car and watched as an elderly lady fighting a losing battle against gravity exited the car. She turned in a slow circle, apparently as confused as I was. I watched as she gingerly knelt to the ground and picked up a handful of pebbles before returning to her car and driving away. Curious, I exited my car and knelt to inspect the stones. Up close, I realized that there was a letter painted on each one of them with pale red paint. I scooped up a handful of them at random, as the other woman had done. I shuffled the stones around my hand, staring at them incredulously as a phrase spontaneously spelled itself out. He won't come back. The stones were lined up in my hand, and while some were slightly out of alignment, the ordering was unambiguous. Besides, the letters were all facing upwards, which seemed strange enough by itself considering how round some of the stones were. I couldn't help but think of Bradley, and how frail he looked in the hospital the last time I had seen him. The red-stained bandages around his head, the IV needle in his arm, the bruised and twisted knuckles poking out from under the sheet. My hand began to tremble, and a few of the stones slipped through my fingers. I threw the rest back on the ground, scattering them as I searched the surrounding earth. Then taking another fistful at random, I shuffled them into a line again, staring at the words that formed. Don't look again. I threw the stones down at once, conscious of the red smear left on the palm of my hand. I picked up a single letter D stone and noticed that the paint on it was still damp. More than damp. It was even brighter now than it had been a moment before, when I first held it. And the longer I looked, the brighter it became, almost as if the paint was welling up from inside the stone. Howdy, miss. What'd you say? I was startled to hear the deep voice so close to me. Had been so absorbed that I hadn't even noticed the other car pulling into the lot beside me. A short, pudgy, middle-aged man with suspicious, beady eyes was trying to peer into my hand. I closed my hand protectively over my stone and he chuckled. Here's what I got, he said, showing me his hand. I looked instinctively at the letters which clearly spelled, You were warned. What do you suppose that's about? He whined. I just shuffled the stones like you did. Maybe I did it wrong. Maybe it was meant for someone else, I said, my voice sounding small and distant in my own head. My last stones told me not to look again. Had I already made a mistake? I stood from the ground and retreated back to my car, shaking my head at the absurdity of it all. Of course the warning couldn't have been for me. It's not like the stones could have known I was going to look. You disgusting, the pudgy man said, hurling his stones at the ground. Damn things are bleeding on me. Hey, where are you going, miss? Leave me alone. I want to be alone right now, I said as I got in my car and slammed the door. What was that supposed to mean? He won't come back. I knew Bradley was dead. I wasn't expecting him to come back. It had been hard enough losing him the first time. I jumped as a red smear slammed into my window. "Is this some kind of joke to you?" the pudgy man shouted, pounding the glass again with his open palm. "You think I'm stupid or something?"
"Hey, leave her alone,"
another voice shouted from across the parking lot. I flinched as he slammed the glass one final time before flipping off the newcomer and walking away. I sat very still, staring directly ahead, trying to convince myself that I hadn't just heard Bradley's voice. It was quiet for a long time, but when I couldn't take it any longer, I allowed myself to look into my rearview mirror. Bradley was standing behind my car, just as I had seen him last. The bandages were wrapped so thickly around his head that only his mouth and nose were clearly visible. It had to be him, though. He was even wearing the same hospital gown, with the loose hanging IV still dangling from his arm. I don't know what gave me the strength to get out of the car then, if not for the weight of regret for all the things I never said to him when I still had the chance. The other car was exiting the parking lot, and it was just the two of us facing each other now. He couldn't have seen me through the bandages over his eyes, but his head turned to follow my movements as though he could. There was a faint rattle as he turned over a handful of stones, and drops of blood dripped freely between his fingers as they moved. "What is going on?" I asked, terrified by the helpless confusion in my own voice. "Do you want to find out?" Bradley's hand stopped moving, and he opened his fingers. The stones in his hand were bleeding freely now, enough to obscure the letters and make them impossible to read from the distance. I took a hesitant step forward, probing his bandaged face for answers, forcing myself not to look into the stones in his hand. "They warned me not to look again," I protested. "They also told you I wouldn't be back, but here I am." Bradley grinned. "I can come back, if you want me to, if you care."
"I do care." The words barely a whisper. "I really did love you. I should have told you before you left that night. I could have stopped you from getting into that car when I knew you weren't okay to drive, but I was so angry. But I never stopped caring."
"Then let the stones tell you how to bring me back." He offered his open palm toward me, inviting me to look. I closed my eyes and shook my head.
"I believe the stones. You won't come back, and I won't look again."
The next few seconds were long and arduous. I heard no sound except the dripping of blood, each drop farther from the last. Then the drops stopped altogether, and I finally allowed myself to open my eyes. The parking lot was empty, and the wind had turned a bitter cold. There were still pale, painted letters on the gravel, but no blood and no one to go home with me. My horoscope told me I would find my deepest desire, and it was right. I got the chance to tell him I loved him, and I would be a fool to wish for more. And that's the end of this story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, consider picking yourself up a copy of this book. I do believe there is an audiobook available as well if you prefer. If you'd like to support this channel further and help us put out more videos, or, you know, just put out videos in general, there is a Patreon available. And I'd appreciate it if you'd give it a thought, but no pressure. If you'd like to also, there is a Discord you can come hang out in. It's pretty chill. There's a lot of cool people there. It's a lot of fun. So with that said, I appreciate you for listening. We'll see you in the next one.